This is really the 26th shir on the time of Devaira, and this will be the last one for the season, which Bez Hashem will be finishing Perik Sheni. Just the finishing touches that we were discussing last week, which the time of Devaira was focusing on the Midah of Anivus. Just interesting, just to point out, one of the great tzaddikim was a tzaddik by the name of Rabbi Rafal Mibarshad. Not one of the most mefursim dige tzaddikim, but those who are knowledgeable in the Olam HaChassidus are quite well aware, because Rabbi Mibarshad was actually a Talmud of Rabbi Pinchas Karitzer, and was born as early as 1751. And up until 1827. As a matter of fact, as of lately, there are a number of articles that are written in different publications regarding the life of Rabbi Rafal Mibarshad. He's a well-known tzaddik in that kufa, that era, when in the world of Hasidus, and attracted a large following. People used to come to him from all over for brachas. What's interesting is to point out, I'm saying this just as a hakdoma to have an idea, there's a Rafal Mibarshad. If one were to pinpoint in terms of a particular midah, his particular midah would be the midah so'emes. More than any midah, his hallmark, what he was known for. Rafal Mibarshad, he was known for the midah of emes. And that was something that came out, whether in the manner of speech, in the manner of anhoge, sheker, falsehood, these kind of things, chokhmes, anything that is not straightforward, would be something completely, completely foreign, would go against the grain of his metzias. And one can clearly say that he was the epitome of truth. That was what his whole life was about. As a matter of fact, he worked on it also with young children, starting from the youngest of his children. When he would see young children, he'd run after children, and what he would talk about to them is Midvar Sheker Tirchok. He would always remind them to distance themselves from sheker. Whatever they say, they should only say the truth, even though it would put them in a compromising position. And especially many times when a person is tempted because he realized that he might stand to lose if he tells the truth, nevertheless, truth should always be the overriding factor in every situation. And even children as small and as young, when they were still in the crib, so he would go and whisper into their ears, young babies, and he would say, Midvar Sheker Tirchok, as if that the ears, the untainted ears of young children should absorb, while they are already in the earliest of stages, the Midah of Sheker, to misrachi themselves from the Midah of Sheker. It is said at Pesamaisa that one of his own children, he found out, was caught in saying a Sheker. It's written, interesting, there's a sefer called, Midvar Sheker Tirchok. It brings there that he's sort of like Hashiva for the child, like someone who converted, for the fact that he said Sheker. Sheker to him was more than any midah. It was something that he couldn't tolerate in any way. So it's interesting that Rav Zevin brings down in his sefer that one of the well-known tzaddikim was a tzaddik by the name of Rav Shmuel Kamenke had a daughter who did not have children for many, many years. She was childless, and as a result, she tried everything. Her father himself was a big tzaddik, but so whenever there was a tzaddik that came to town, she would run to him for a bracha. And as a matter of fact, her own father would send her, go to this tzaddik, maybe he has a particular koyach in this area, for a bracha. And so that Rabbi Rafal Mibarshad came to the town, and the daughter of Rabbi Shmuel, she went to ask a bracha, and Rabbi Shmuel Take was listening, and he says to her the following, it's an amazing thing, and he said to her, this gula for having children, he says to her, is to be besimcha. It's to be besimcha. She comes home and tells her father, I received a bracha from Rabbi Rafal, and he told me, be'ikar, he said, that I should be besimcha. His gula for having children is besimcha. And her father, Rabbi Shmuel, who's a great tzaddik in his own right, thinks for a moment and says, you know what? I have a remez in three places for that. In Torah, and in Nevi'im, and in Ksuvim. Let's start with Torah. Sarah Imenu was an akorat, for didn't have any children. The moment that Titzchok saw her, she laughed. She was besimcha. What followed after that? She had a child. So you find the remez in Torah. Simcha brings children. Then went further and said, in Nevi'im. But remember, the Haftarah starts. It says, Rone Yakoro Lo Yolodo. So Rabbi Shmuel said, you know what the pshat is? Roni Akoro Lo Yolodo. The Akoro doesn't have children. She should sing. Because hopefully if she'll sing, this will be a remedy to her situation. The Akoro who has no children should sing. Because in schus of the Inyan of Simcha, being besimcha, she will be geholfen and be zoiche. And finally, he said also in Ksuvim, which is in Tehillim. In Tehillim, everybody knows that Posik in Halel says, Moshivi Akeres Abayis. Akeres Abayis is a lotion from Akoro. You can have Akeres Abayis. You can have a wife, but she's an Akoro. But Eim Habonim Simcha. Through Simcha, she becomes an Eim Habonim. Through the Koich of Simcha. And so it is brought down. So it's interesting that the daughter was not such as push at the daughter herself. So she asks her father and she says, if it was a segula to have children to be besimcha, sorry, Menu laughs, right? As a segula to be besimcha, to have children, so why was the Kodesh Baruch Hu so upset? So father said, listen, segulas you only need when a Rebbe gives you a bracha. If the Kodesh Baruch Hu says something, you don't need any segulas, he says. So that was the Yavla. The Kodesh Baruch Hu promises something, you don't need any segulas. So a Rebbe gets a bracha, so a Mela, so a segula also. It helps along in order for the bracha to be mekuyim. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself promises something, you don't need any zgulis anymore. The word of Hashem, of course, that takes care of it. So I just want to mention just the last nekudi just on this before we come to what I want to point out in relation to the Talmud Devar where we left off. That is a very fascinating thing that there was a particular yid who did something, a novel, and he broke the law by selling some type of item that was against the law to sell. The one would not be allowed to sell. And Lamaisi was caught, and it was a very serious punishment was looming over his head. And being that Reb Rafal was so respected, so the family came to Reb Rafal that he should come and testify that the man is innocent. How can I testify the man is innocent if, in fact, it would be a lie? So the wife came and started crying to him bitterly. He said, listen, he's a family, he has a father of the family, he's a breadwinner. If he goes to jail, he said, there's nobody to support the family. Family will starve. And the other thing about Reb Rafal was he was a tremendous Baal Rachmonis. You could melt his heart. I mean, he would go to the end of the world to do a Yida Toive. And here, Mami, she was like stuck. What do I do here, he says. He says, I don't go to testify. This man ends up in jail. On the other hand, how could I lie? He said, all my life, he said, I was loichim for the truth. Absolutely truth. He said, I would give everything I own, everything, he says, I would give up for the truth. Everybody knows that my whole life, this is the Musa that I try to impart. This is the message of Midas Oemes. How can I, in my eyes, everybody knows that Sheker is Avi Avoy Satumen. It's Mamish at the top, the epitome of. How can I do that? And Mamish, he found himself that he had. It was Mamish a day before the trial, and the wife comes and she breaks down bitterly, and again, which is his soft heart. And he was in a quandary. He says, what am I supposed to do over here? He says, to go and testify and lie. How can I do that? That's mamish against what I'm all about. I can't do it, no matter what the situation. And on the other hand, how can I just see the churban of the family here losing a wife, a husband, children, a father, and so on and so forth? No more, no less, that night, which was the night before the trial, he knew that he was in a corner. Whatever he decides, he says, is something that's going to hurt him. His wife came and she said, I heard my husband, which is him, Reb Rafal, as he's sitting in his room, and he breaks out into tears and says, Rabbi Nishloelim, there's only one Eitzah. You have to take my neshama away before the time comes. I shouldn't have to neither see what's the outcome because I don't go to testify, and at the same time, certainly not to be tempted to have to testify. In Kachav HaMaisa, he was nostalgic that night. Pele the Hafle, that the morning of the trial, the accused admits it, that he's guilty. So as a result, the shliach came to run very, very quickly to the house to be moedia that it's okay, he doesn't have to come. But it was too late already. He was already just then, he had just had passed away, and he was nifter. This is a reform of parashat. Why are we mentioning this? Mentioning this, the Talmud Devar pointed out, he says that the midah v'anova, he said, is the shayrish of all the midahs. That was the Talmud Devar, putting the yisoid of the foundation. If you're working on any midah, if you want to be successful in any midah, work on the midah v'anova, because that is like the key. That is the mafteach of all the midahs. So, Reb Rafal Parashat said, and that's why this was the Hagdoma just, so you have an idea who we're talking about. So Rav Paul said, he said, the truth is when I come up to Shamayim, he says, and I have to give them the cheshbon, I will find a way out. I will find a way out, he says, to be potter min adin. He says, why? He says, probably they're going to ask me the following questions. What the Gemara says, what do you ask a person? Well, one of the questions they ask him is, Nasoso v'nasato b'emunah. Did you do your business with honesty? Did you conduct your business honestly? So I'll say, listen, I never had any money, I never did any business. So that answer, he says, that question, he says, I won't have to answer, he says. So that one will not indict me. So they come down to the next question, and they'll say to him, Kovati tim la Torah. Were you kovati tim la Torah? Says, I will say to Shemai Mose, you're asking if I was kovati. I was a big Amoritz, I didn't know how to learn anything. Says, so they'll let me off the hook with that question also, he says. I'll get by. And so on and so forth, we come down to each and every question, he says, I'll have an answer. They'll say to him, did you give tzedakah? They'll say, give tzedakah, he says, I would have wanted to give tzedakah. I didn't have a prut in my pocket. I didn't have what to give. So he says, I'll answer every question, he says, and I'll be able to get off. But then there'll be one problem, and I won't have an answer. There'll be one more question. They'll say to me, Reb Rafael, they'll say, being, they'll say to him, you were an Amoritz, as you're saying. You were an Oni V'Evion. He says, you didn't do any business. You were not a soicher. Why were you a balgaiva? He says. He said, for this I won't have an answer. He says, this is going to put me into trouble. He says, that'll be the maki bepati. He says, after everything else, he says, I got off the hook. All the main questions, I was able to answer. But coming down finally, he says, bistakazoi, you're nothing. You're not a tamat chochom. You're not an oisher. You're not a gvir. So why were you a balgaiva? With what? He says, this will be something that'll do me in. He says, when it comes to this question, when it comes to the question of gaiva. So just interesting to point out that they say that Rav Reform the Parshat used to say, he says, I thank Hashem all the time. At a different instance he said, the Torah is a lot of tarik mitzvahs. None of the mitzvahs are really easy. Some are easier than others. And for different people, different mitzvahs are easier than others. And so aveiros, different people have different temptations. They're not all alike. But if you use the koyach, you use your talents, you use the kishroinus, sati dishmaya, a yid, one way or another, is able to be mekayim the mitzvahs. He says, I thank Hashem that he did not put a mitzvah, a particular mitzvah in the Torah. In other words, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have put, Lu Yitzui, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would put a mitzvah in the Torah that you have to be a balgaiva, no way I would be able to be mekayim that mitzvah, he says. So I thank Hashem there's no such mitzvah. I could never do that, he says. So this is again, he says, Anochi over vefer, he says, Talas v'lo yish. So we go here and we take a look, Rabbi Isai, at the Torah Medvar here, Perik Sheni. We go to Perik Sheni, in the middle of Perik Sheni, which is actually here on Daf Mem. It's the Rishon V'Sheni here, the next two Eitzes actually. And the Torah Medvar goes on to say as follows. The Medvar says, what he gave was the three Eitzes before. A person should be a berech min hakovod and so on and so forth. A person should recognize that he really has a lot still to gain and to perfection. He's a long way off from perfection. He should recognize his lowliness and so on and so forth. A person should also recognize his avoinus. These were the three things that he said the person should focus on, and he called it that this is sort of like a bandage. It's a bandage with medicine to refine a person's midos. Now he says that avoid motzosi mashke toiv moid. I also found another, he says, another not a bad, he says, sort of like an elixir. Another find of a good potion, he says, very, very beneficial. However, he says, but these two eitzes are not as powerful as the three eitzes, as I mentioned before, regarding to be a berech min hakovod and so on and so forth. But nevertheless, these are very beneficial as well. That a person should basically be marigal atzma, should accustom himself to two things. What are the two things? Harishin, first of all, the first thing he says is, Hulechabed hanivroim kulam. A person should respect all creatures, everything Hashem created. Everything Hashem created, and it refers not only to human beings. Anything that Hashem's created, Hashem gave life, Hashem created, doesn't make a difference. Animal, whatever, beast, a person should respect anything that Hashem created. And he says, especially if you talk about man himself. When you talk about man, and we realize that man was formed by Hashem himself. Hashem formed man with his ultimate wisdom. So if Hashem with his ultimate wisdom created man, man deserves respect. Because every person, every human being is a product of Hashem's wisdom. So how can I look down on a human being who is the handiwork? He's Hashem's sculpture. Hashem created this person. Hashem fashioned this person. This is the handiwork of Hashem. How can you disrespect that? Says the Torah Mitzvah. Recognize that each and every person, within him lies the mile of HaKadosh Baruch Hu who created him. V'chein kol ha-nivroyim chochmas ha-yotza behem. And it's not only man, but it's all creatures. All creatures contain the tremendous wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then it says, as is pointed out in Mefarshim, the Torah Mitzvah points out that man's wisdom is found in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in creating man. The wisdom of Hashem is found in all of the creatures, but in man even more so. In man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wisdom is found in a greater way than it is found in all creatures. And the reason for that is because we know, as Reb Chaim Volozhin points out in Nefesh HaChaim, the fact that we know that man was created at the end of all of the Nevroim, man was the last to be created. Man was created out of Shabbos. So the whole animal world, the insect world, the world of birds, all of the other creatures, all were created before man. Man was created at the end. Do you know why? Why was man created at the end? He's man. There's many reasons. But as Reb Chaim Volozhin points out in Nefesh HaChaim, you know why? Because when man was supposed to be created, all of the creatures that were created before him donated a chelik of themselves into man. In other words, man is a makeup and is the sum of all the parts of all the other creatures to get put together. So a man has within himself, he has a chelik of all of the shrotzim, he has a chelik of all of the animals, he has a chelik cow, a chelik horse, a chelik lion, a chelik of a leopard, a chelik of a dog, a chelik of a wolf. All of the animals contributed a chelik of themselves into man. So if Hashem's chokhmah is in the animal world, so being that man is what they are and more, so therefore Hashem's chokhmah is even more so recognized when it comes to man. Says the Torah Mitzvah further, V'yira bi'atzmoy sha'reihem nechbodim moid moid. He had to realize that all creatures are very, very honorable. In other words, they deserve respect. They are very becovetic. Why again? She'nitfal yoitzer ha'koil, ha'chocham ha'nala al koil bibriyosom. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the wisest over everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the chocham, who is Hanala, who is above and beyond HaKoil. He was involved in their creation. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the superior of wisdom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Chocham above everything, was involved in creating all of these creatures. Of course, there has to be respect accorded to all of Hashem's creations. The Ilui says, Yevaza Oysom, because in fact, says the Torah Mitzvah, when a man is Mevaza, when you disrespect any creature, you know what that means? You're disrespecting Hashem. You're showing Hashem, you know, what you did is not important. That which you created, it's not choshev enough. So indirectly, if you're being mevaza any nivro, you're really mevaza Kodesh Baruch Hu himself, as he points out. Again, v'ilu yevaza oisam chaz v'sholom, noigea b'chvoid yitzram. You are touching, he says, the honor of Kodesh Baruch Hu himself. And he gives a very beautiful mashal. The beautiful mashal is, let's say you have a painter. Let's say you have a world famous painter, right? He paints a painting. Or you have a world famous sculpture. They basically create the sculpture and you can start criticizing it. It's not the sculpture that you criticize. You criticize the artistic quality of the person who created it. So Mamela, the bizoinist, is the one who made it. Bahareza Yidme, he says, this is Doime. This is comparable, he says, Al Chochem Tzairef. Imagine when you have a Chochem Tzairef, it means a very creative craftsman, a smith of sorts. Also, Kli B'chochma Gedoyla, who with great wisdom and great artistry, he fashions a particular Kli that he made. The Hera Maaseyu El B'nei Adam. And he displays it, right? He has a show, and he displays his work. So what happens? So someone goes by, looks at it, observes it, and starts to criticize it, not something to criticize it, to denigrate it, to be mevazit, to shame it. The Hizchalech of Mehem, and one of the people who look at it, begin leganoisu levazoisu, they disgrace it and they shame it. Can you imagine kamo yagia mahakas alachochamahu? Do you realize that how angry that craftsman, that artist would become. You realize, it's not the painting that you were mavazeh. It's not the piece of sculpture that you were mavazeh. It's not the building from the architect that you were mavazeh. You mavazeh the craft, the artist, the craftsman, the person who did it. You mavazeh his maase yodov. So va'av HaKadosh Baruch Hu yeira be'enov. Says the Torah Dvoira, the same thing is also HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Also yeira be'enov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is troubled. Im yavazu shum beryam ibri yosef. If you are mavaze any berry, any creature that Hashem created, this indirectly is shaming, is a disrespect, a dishonor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. V'zeu shekosuf. And in fact, this is what Dovra Melech says in Tehillim. He says, Morabu ma'asecho Hashem. Le'oma godlu. He didn't say how magnificent your work is. El rabu. Rabu is from Loshin, how honorable. El rabu is Loshin rab besoy. A leader of a household, right? He's the one who people give the honor to, give the kovet. From the Loshon Rav Beisos, we find the Megillah. So here too it says, Rabbi means chashuvim me'oid. Whatever you created, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's so choshev. Because you have created it. Look how choshev it is, because you are the artist. So kulam b'chokhma siso. How much chokhma is in there? Because you are the one who did it. You are the one who created it. You are the one that made it. You are the one that fashioned it. And Mamela. And being that you are Kodesh Baruch Hu, that you are involved, your Chokhmah was involved in creating this, Rabu v'godol ma'asecho. So certainly how great and how choshev is your handiwork, that which you have done. So Mamela, therefore says the Torah Medavira, V'royu li'odom li'hizboinen mitoicham Chokhmah, says Loi b'vizoyim. And therefore a person should recognize the Chokhmah that is in each of Hashem's creations. Not at the Bizoyim. Don't look at the Bizoyim. Look at the Chokhmah that Hashem put into each of his Nivroim. Tremendous, tremendous Chokhmah design. You find everything that Hashem created. For that alone, it deserves kovet and it deserves respect. So that is item number one that he calls a mashketoiv, a very good medicine to drink, a good potion to drink, for refinement of midos, to respect not only each and every person, no matter who that person is, but also to respect all of Hashem's creatures. Everything that Hashem created deserves respect. And if someone does not honor what Hashem created, it is as if one, in fact, is disgracing HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. No more, no less. This is item number one. And then finally he says another thing. Hasheni, the second thing. Now this is not so easy what he says over here. And we're going to have on the sheet, you have one or two different explanations in this thing. Because you see here, he is bending backwards to look at the extreme about loving each and every person. Look what he says over here. Yargil Atzmoy, he says. The second thing, says the Torah Medavira, a person yargel atzmoy. You should accustom yourself. This is something you have to work at. Yargel atzmoy. Should become a regilis by you. Yargel atzmoy, a person should accustom himself. Lahachnis ahavas b'nei yodom b'liboy. A person should accustom himself to basically to love another person. To create, to be able to find, to generate love and ahava. And we'll talk about that. We have on the sheet to what extent, how does that mean? There's a number of perushim in this. Look what he says. As if they were his brothers. So a person should generate ahava within himself, not only to strange people, but he says, even to rishoyim. And even more, until he has love for all people, without discrimination. That he's able to love all people, v'afilu harishoyim, yeah, voisom beliboy. Now here's the key. Some of the mafarshim say, we'll see it on the sheet, beliboy. Because rishoyim many times, in maise, you have to show that you don't go along with him. Because if you're going to be mekar of rishoyim, you know, overly much in the wrong way, so to speak, you have to be mekar of everybody. But if you're going to show them honor in a way that they think that what they're doing is right, they're being misled. You're not doing them a favor. So therefore he says, beliboy, in your heart. In other words, b'maisa, of course, you have to rebuke them. You have to try to teach them. You have to guide them. They have to know what your opinion is, that the maisa they're doing is wrong. That's one part of it. But ahava, believe, you should still generate. That's something which is on the inside. The Rosh doesn't see that. That's the part that you generate within yourself. The Rosh has to know that what he's doing is wrong, and it has to be heard. Somebody has to tell him. But believe, boy, but in your heart, he says you have to generate ahava. Ve'yoymer, because you say, when you love someone, in the same way when someone is physically hurt. What is the demonstration of love? If to another human being. demonstration of love to another human being is when that human being is hurt. If you have love for that person, you're hoping and praying all the time that that person should get better. If you don't have that much love for him, you don't care one way or another. And if you'll say kapitel tilim, it's not really so deep from the heart. Baruch Hashem, we have lists of cholim all over, but who can genuinely say that you really feel the pain in your heart? But when someone is a close to you, someone's close, and that person finds himself in a serious machla, in a serious situation, your heart goes out for him. And therefore you're mispallel with kavona and belayv sholem. Said the Talmud Dvar, the same thing should be for the spiritually ill. The people who are spiritually ill, Rishoyim, let's call them. But you should have a love for them. And if you have a love for them, you'll be mispallel from your depths of your heart. In the same way, if a loved one is physically ill, you're being mispallel from the depths of your heart. When someone is spiritually ill, you should be mispallel because you love him. You should be mispallel that he should see the light and be able to do tshuva. That is the Talmud Dvar. That is how the love that you generate should be expressed, that you should be mispallel on their behalf, that they should see the light and be able to turn their lives around. Look what he says. The Yoyma. And you should say to yourself, and he should say, Meyitein v'yihu eilu tzadikim shovim b'tshuva. Halavai halavai, that these rishoyim would turn becoming tzadikim. They should turn themselves around, v'yikulam gedoylim ritzuyim lamokim. And that it should all be great people that Hashem desires their company. That should be your feeling towards these people. That should be your attitude. You should be mispallel for them because you have an ahava for them. And when you have an ahava for someone, you are mispallel that that person should be able to find a tikkun, whether in his physical life or in his spiritual life. Kemamar oyev neman l'chol Yisrael, as the most loyal lover of Klal Yisrael. Who is the most loyal person who had ahava to Yisrael? Moshe Rabbeinu. There's no one who loved Klal Yisrael more than Moshe Rabbeinu. Omar and Moshe said, "Umiyitein kolam Hashem neviim." And Moshe said, "I'm not worried for competition. I'd rather let everybody be in the highest madrega." Moshe Rabbeinu was a Novi. Let there be all the more neviim. Yeah, there'll be more neviim. Then Moshe Rabbeinu's kavod will be diminished. He'll not be the only Novi. The more neviim there are, right, that might take away some of the godliness of Moshe. Moshe does not bother by that. Moshe Halavai said, "Let every yid have the same thing." Umiyitein kolam Hashem neviim. So it says, "Ubame yehav." He says, "And how should one actually?" How should we actually practice that love? How does that happen? In other words, how does the person really generate love to Rishoyim, Lamoshal? How do you generate love to Rishoyim? How does it happen? I mean, the people are Rishoyim. So we said that in your heart, in belief, you should generate love to them, and that could be mispallel for them. But how do you find that within yourself? How do you create that love? How are you able to build that kind of ahava? So he says, how does that happen? He said, "Behiyoyisoy maski b'machshavtoy toyves asher b'hem," and that's something we're going to be talking about also. He says the idea is because focus on the good qualities. The fact is, people, no matter how many negative qualities they have, there is some good in each person. There is not a person in this world that exists does not have a chelik toyv. Sometimes you have to find it. Sometimes it may take you a long time to find it. But the fact is, every person has a chelik toiv. There's no one that's totally, completely ra. Just like there's no one who's completely toiv. Nobody's perfect. Ain't tzadik bar zashiyah tzatoiv. Of course, when we say tzadikim, who are we to criticize tzadikim? Tzadikim lefi madrigosim, because the greater they are, so even a small infringement is called the gabadim, it's called the chet. But the fact is, so they're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. So the other way also, nobody is totally imperfect. Nobody is perfect and nobody is imperfect, completely imperfect. So there's toiv, and therefore focus your machshava. When you're looking at that rosha, you want to be able to generate, think of the chelik ha-toiv, the yechatzim mumam, and therefore cover up the defect. Cover up the defect. V'lo yistakel b'nigeim. Don't look at their makir. Don't look at their flaws. El b'midois ha-toivois. Find any good aspect, asher b'hem, that they have. The yoyim ha-beliboy. Here he says a very good test. He says, all these people that you say you don't desire their company, you say, these are people not for me. But when they are rich people, somehow you have no problem associating with them. Somehow then you don't care about their midos. You don't care about the negative qualities. They are rich people. They are people in high standing. They are people with influence. So says the Talmud Dvayre, all these Rishoyim, let's say they are poor, just imagine if they would have been rich. Then you would not despise them, right? So he says, generate this kind of an attitude. So obviously what it means is you're not looking at the essence, you're looking at other outside things. That's what influences you. If that person, this particular oni, this poor, low person, you look down at him. You look down at him because of his negative traits. But if he would have been a Baal Mom and Rav, if this lowly person would also have a lot of money on the other side, you say to yourself, how happy I would have been to make keep his company. All of a sudden, his riches doesn't bother you anymore. Doesn't bother you. You sit with him, you visit him once a week, once a month, you keep company with him. Because why? Because you stand to gain from him. Sometimes it's COVID, sometimes it's business, sometimes it's money, whatever the situation is. Then it's okay. So he says, Kemoisha ani sameach. So he said, if this oni, he says, so this lowly oni, just imagine if he had a lot of money, so certainly I would have been happy. Kemoisha ani sameach bechevras pleini. The same as I'm happy to keep company with other people who have a lot of money, I would have also had no problem to keep company with this oni. Hamous hazeh, v'harezeh. And he says further, imagine this oni mous, if he would become dressed in fancy clothing, in other words, he'd be a person, right, who carries himself with dignity, or with an honorable person who looks choshev, you have no problem. You don't care about his midrash, you don't care about his character. He says, harezeh ilo yalbishuhu halavushim hanoim kemeplaini. If this oni, this Rosh happens to be an oni, but if you would dress him with fancy clothing and choshev clothing, like the other people, then there is no difference between him and anybody else. If so, if it's only the exterior that makes a difference, had he had money, then you had no problem with him. Had he had choshev begodim, no problem. If he has a high position, his riches doesn't make a difference. So Bazoi says, if that's the case, if so, he says, why should this person lack honor in my eyes? This person in the eyes of Hashem, he says, you say to yourself, could be even more important than me. You know why? Because this person, he may be a Rosha, but he may be a person who's suffering. He's a Rosha Oni. Because if he's rich, then you do give him honor. Zalama is a Rosha Oni. For his suffering alone, suffering goes a long way in the next world. Says the Torah Medavar, who knows how Choshev because of that aspect. Says, Shuhu Negua Meduke Oini V'Yisurim. Because being that he's going through everything that this man is going through, all of his suffering, and therefore you say to yourself, this should be your attitude, that this person might be menuke me'ovoim, more than me, cleansed of sin. If you take that attitude to find and to see the good in each and every person, and you start to understand that every person is a creation of Hashem's chokhmah, and therefore every creature even deserves honor, so therefore you will accustom your heart to keep focusing on the positive side, not on the negative. And also to accustom yourself all the good midas that we mentioned above, whether it was the mid of Anivis, the Berech, Menakovit, and so on, this will lead a person to the refinement of midas. So I want, Rabbi Sa, we should take the sheet, and we want to take a look here. There are a few items. Just want to mention that Rebor Ber, it is said about Rebor Ber, that he would say to himself, that the truth is, and Rabbi Ber was a tremendous onov also, he would say that if you would ask me Shemaim, with what are you coming here? What did you accomplish? So the truth is, Rabbi Ber says, I would be able to say nothing. I really don't have anything. My Torah is not a Torah. He says, I've not done enough for Klal Yisrael, and so on and so forth. Very, very little. Is this Torah? Is this your Shemaim, what I accomplished? He said, but however, he says, that we won the coup, the Rebor Ber said, I'll be able to be Mlamet Zchusa myself. And that is, he says, I had a Havas Yisroel. Interesting thing that he pointed out. Rebor said, every time I went on the street and I saw a Yid, my lips very quietly would whisper a Brocha. That's what he would. If you see another Yid, he'd say, let a Brocha come on his head, on top of this person. This was the meaning of Rebor Ber. Something unimaginable. Rebor Ber, the great Rosh Yeshiva, would see a Yid, automatically out of his mouth would come a Brocha upon that other Yid. And of course, this is something that comes with regilus and comes with so forth, with this understanding. Also, just a gaburch, it's very interesting about Rebor Ber, which is mentioned about Rebor Ber, and that is that every morning by Birchas HaShachar, Rebor Ber said, I am tremendously besimcha. He said, if for nothing else, that I wake up in the morning and I realize I'm a Yid, I'm not a Goy. For that alone, if you had nothing else in the world, only that Yediyah, that knowledge, that you are a Yid, not a Goy, for that alone, you deserve, you should be the simcha. He says, the greatest simcha. And Rabbi Rebbe says, every morning when I make the bracha, shlo yisani goy, not only do I make the bracha, the simcha, shlo yisani goy, but Rabbi Rebbe says, before I make that bracha, you know what I do? I imagine in my mind the most choshev goy that I know. Chveis could be a president of the United States. That's not so choshev anymore. Chveis, the greatest chocham in the world, the greatest philosopher. And I imagine in front of my mind the greatest chocham, the most highly respectable person. And now I say shloyes ani goy, that I'm not a goy like him even. He says, to make a bracha shloyes ani goy to a goy who pushes a push cart, he says, even his fellow goy doesn't want to be a goy like him. So when I say shloyes ani goy, means I don't want to be a goy, but Hashem, I'm thanking Hashem, shloyes ani goy, even to the most choshev goy that you know. That's what the Baruch Hu says, that's what I think of. I think in my mind about the most choshev goy that I know, and now I say shloyes ani goy. Thank God that what the Baruch Hu, that didn't make me even a goy like him, that I am a yid. And that's what I'm thankful for when I say shloyes ani goy. So I want to look at the number one. First of all, there's a few lines that we find from Rabbi Yapian in Levi Eliyahu. It's in Parshas B'chukoi, the first item. Few lines. Rabbi Yapian says in the middle of an essay, talking about what the Talmud Zavira says that we have learned, the idea that a person should generate love to everything that Hashem created. So he says, "Achashailu heich magiim lekiyam mitzvah zu shel v'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha." V'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha not only demands ahava, but v'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha. How does one generate that? V'kamoicha hayne kamoicha mamish. So he says, "Bazek kvar omru Chazal." So Chazal say, "She i'efshel agiel v'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha rak ayidekiyum mitzvahs v'ahavta Hashem lekecha." Rav Lapian says, "V'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha is connected with v'ahavta Hashem lekecha, because only if you really love Hashem, the more you love Hashem, that will enable you also to love your fellow Jew. A Yid who does not have a havas Hashem will not be able to really be mekayim v'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha. Why? Why are they connected? Why is the havas Hashem connected with v'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha? Says Kloimer." Let's take a look at this world, he says. If you love a particular person, if you have an ahava to a person, the fact is, you love that person's children also. In other words, how can you love a person if you don't love his children? His children is part of him. So, and you see that, if you really have ahava to, you have a best friend. If you have a best friend who you really have a hava to, you also love his children as well. You can't separate the two. So the cloud, because if you don't love his children, you're not really loving him, because he and the children and his children are not separable. They're inseparable. So the cloud is, you see that, but derech ha'olam, you see that if you love a person, you also have a love to his children. Says Rabbi Lapian at Dover Niflo, he says, if you love Hashem, you have to love Hashem's children, because every Yid in this world are Hashem's children. We are all Bonim Lamokim. And if you don't love Hashem's children, you don't love your fellow Jew, you don't love Hashem. So therefore, V'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha is contingent on what? On V'ahavta Hashem l'kecha. It's contingent on Havas Hashem. Because we are Hashem's children. If you really love Hashem, you have to love Hashem's children. Hashem loves them. Hashem loves his children. You love Hashem, you have to love Hashem's children as well. If you don't love Hashem's children, it means you don't really have enough love to Hashem either. That's what he points out, he says. So he says, "Kemoi be'olam yesh l'adam ahavo." Let me show. The person has ahava to a particular person. Harehu oyev gamis bonov. You also have love to the children. Why? Sharei heim bonov sheloi havoi. Because these are the children of the one that you love. The chein hadover, he says, the same thing we find by havas abrius. The same thing is loving your fellow Jew, loving fellow people. Mikiv m'sha'odom magia l'ahavas Hashem yizborach. If a person reaches Ahavat Hashem, that's Ovinu Shebashamayim. Ovinu Shebashamayim means if there's an Av, there's children. If he's Ovinu Shebashamayim, so we are Bonim. Because he's Ovinu, he's our father. Oh, so Hashem is Ovinu Shebashamayim. So what are the people? The people are Hashem's children. So Vadai Ye'ehav is Kol Abonim Lemokoim. If you love Hashem, who's the father? Hashem is the father. Then you have to love all of the children as well. Ubekach, so through Ahavat Hashem, Yagia, you are able to reach, he says, to v'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha. The other nekudah, just three lines we'll just do. In the second item, that's a quote from the Sefer Reishis Chochmah. From the Sefer Reishis Chochmah, he points out, and he quotes the Ramak. You realize, because of the Sefer Reishis Chochmah, he writes in Shar HaNova, he said, "Od oit kosav moiri." Moiri, that's my Rebbe. Who's the Rebbe? The Talmud Devayre. The Reishis Chochmah was the Talmud of the Talmud Devayre. My Rebbe says, he speaks about Derech L'Kniyas Anova, he gives eitzes of how a person is able to acquire the mid of Anivis, and he says further, "See to it, It can't be overstated to be mechabed all people. Kedalim kashirim, whether they are poor, whether they are rich, yushovim, they both deserve equal honor. It's not the money that gives them his chashivas. The fact that both are human beings, ben osher ben oni, he says, doesn't make a difference, he says. Ki ein hefrish ben osher ben oni l'bamois. The only difference between the osher and the oni is the money. That's the only difference. Aval shneihem nivru betzelem edmus, but both were created betzelem alakim. Respect a person because he has the tzelem alakim. And in that sense, the oni and the osher certainly are alike. The chelik of Hashem is within him. And if the chelik of Hashem is within him, so everybody has to be equal in your eyes, and everybody should be given and accorded the proper honor. So I want to show you something very interesting. We go to the side here, and we have you from Ableib Chasman. And Ableib Chasman, here in the third item, you turn the sheet on the side, from the Sefer Or Yoel. Ableib Chasman was one of the Rebbeim that Shom Shadron quoted many times, was his Rebbe. And some of the Shemuzim were recorded in the Sefer called Or Yoel. He was the Mashgiach of Hebron, as we know, Ableib Chasman. Big tzaddik, of course, a big oyved Hashem. The Nekuda of the Chasman posits over here, we're going to see it soon, is to point out that even though we learn many, many times, it's mentioned in Pirkei Avos, it's mentioned in Chazal, it's mentioned in the Talmud Devarah that we had in last week. He says one of the three items, remember, now we learned the two items, but last week the three items is to be a bereach min hakovod. When we talk about despising kovod, that's your kovod, not your chavis kovod. In other words, there are two sides of the same stick, or the same coin. When we talk about despising kovod, that means your own kovod. But your chavras kovod, you have to honor, he says, till the end of the world, he says. You have to be very makpid. When it comes to your own kovod, zostish makpizam. Don't be makpid, be moichel, look away. Right? Be a mavra midoisov. All of these things that we talk about, bittel of kovod, bittel kovod, is talking about your own kovod. But when it comes to kovod chavercha, your kovod of your chavras should be very, very important. Gaburcha Ramosha says it in Sefer Dorash Moshe. It's a grad in Parshas Chukas, this week's Parsha. He says it Gab another thing as well. He said, we talk about the midah of kamtzonos, right? A person has a midah of kamtzonos, which means he's tight-fisted. A person, Pachit, who does not have it within his heart to share. He keeps everything to himself. Pazronos is a midah toivet, to be a pazron. A person basically should spread what he has, should share what he has, to be a pazron. Kamtzonos is not a good midah. Ramosha says, Pazronis is a good midah on your own money, not on Yenim's money. When it comes to somebody else's money, a person should be a kamtzen. Because Yenim's money has to be choshev, even a pruta of somebody else's money. It can't be a spender is on your own money. That person, when you say a spender, means for good things. That person should be a pazron. A person should have the feeling to share with the good fortune that Hashem gave him. That's to have his own money. But on Yenim's geld, somebody else's money, you can't be a pazron. On somebody else's, you should be a kamtzen. So this is here what the Ableib Chasman points out. And he says as follows. How far that goes. It's mamish the two opposites of the same coin. He says, Aval yesh oid bechina, he says, yoysu gevoya. He said, there is a higher bechina, he says. He says, there is a bechina, sheyesh dvarim shatoyre. He says, gidra es odom liatzmoy. On the one hand, the Torah told the person that she create a fence, a barrier. She is rachik mizeh. There are certain midois that the Torah said, run away, flee. That's only benegay yourself. Benegay yourself, run away. Distance yourself. Flee from that midah. I left it out here. COVID on the one hand is so dangerous. So COVID is something that should be bottle and mevutel legabe yourself. Your own COVID. But not your chavas kovod. And as he points out, the eiz mechubed, hamechabed is abrius. There's a chiyev to be mechabed other people. That's what the Talmud Devarah is talking about over here. V'kol shken shaligrim bizoyin lachaveroi, shehu mehadvarim shenlechelik loylam habo, causing bizoyinus to someone, to another person, is one of the things that ein loychelik loylam habo. Va'af shoha odom reshoy levazes es atzmoi, and even though benegay yourself, a person is allowed to be mevaze himself. Let's talk about luxuries. We say that a person should not indulge in luxuries. That a person should be mitzamtzem. A person should live modestly. So when it comes to moiseries, he says, alo odom, we say, benigei yourself, alo odom liftoich b'shem. We say, should be a bal betochen, ulemayit betir des ishtadlis, and not to bend backwards. Not to bend overly backwards. That's benigei your own needs. A person should be frugal. A person should be mitzamtzim his own needs. But v'yavul pikein al chaveroi chatz melahaskir. When it comes to your chaver, don't say, you know, be mitzamtzim. For your chaver, you should go all out and try to be as great as a mashpi as you can. When it comes to your chaver, chatz melahaskir lemalois, he says, machzer reyehu bibitochen. He says very nicely, he says. Everybody knows, very fundamental. It's a shah betochen in chayvus alvavus. Shah betochen. What does shah betochen mean? Shah betochen means that if leida chas v'sholem, if we fall on hard times, no matter what area, could be an area of panosa, could be an area of health, could be an area of naches, could be shiduchim, we fall on hard times. So what's the chiv of a yid? Of course, you have to daven, you have to do everything, but there's something called betochen. A yid has to be betochen on his own tzarach, has to be betochen. So what happens, Rabbi Yisai, the doorbell rings, right? The doorbell rings, and you have Nebuch, a fatzor de yid, is standing at the door who needs help. So you say to yourself, oh, this yid is coming to the door for help. So you say to yourself, I'm going to give him a lecture on bitochen. Yeah, he says, why are you so down? He said, don't you know you have to have bitochen? Rabbi Leib Chassman said, that's a big avera. If somebody rings your doorbell, open up your wallet. Give him an eight, say, don't lecture him on bitochen. Bitochen is on your own tzaris. Don't lecture bitochen. Don't be mashpi. Don't throw bitochen at somebody else. Bitochen is for yourself. Covet should be nothing for yourself. Your own covet. Yenim's covet should be very choshev. Yenim's tzaris should be very important to you. Your own tzaris have bitochen. That's what he points out over here. That's what he uses the lashon chas melahaskil and malois machse reyehu bebitochen. Chad v'sholem, to try to satisfy someone's needs, to fill someone's needs by throwing bitochen at him. You want to fulfill his needs? Give him something tangible. Help him out with something that's meaningful. Don't give him a hashkofish here. Someone who's in trouble, you have to help him out, he says. And so on and so forth, he says. Matzinos, we find demach soiroi. We find that someone who is accustomed to a higher standard of living, and he fell very low. So the Gemara said, being that he's accustomed to a higher standard, afilasus lirchevolov. So now you give him a horse that he's used to riding on, the Eved Loris. He used to be accustomed to having a horse running in front of him. Now he doesn't have it. So that person became part of his life already. That because his dignity, that's what he always used to do. So if you can, you should try to be able that this person's dignity should be restored to what it was. And so on and so forth, as he gives the various examples to that. So I want to show you something very, very interesting. So when you talk about the feeling that the Talmud Devarah talks about, that we should try to generate ahava within ourselves to each and every nivra, how far does that go? So it's a pel of ahava that you find here. It's in two places. One is, number one, we have it from the Tferes Shloimeh, that's of Shloimeh Radomsky. Shloimeh Radomsky, of course, was one of the great rebbes, one of the great, great rebbes, in the Tferes Shloimeh. And the Shloimeh Radomsky brings down in Tferes Shloimeh, in the Inyonim of Purim, we have it just a few lines, he brings down for David Lelever, one of the great tzaddikim, and look what he brings down here. These are very fascinating words, and look what he says here. First, the Shloimeh Radomsky talks about that tzaddikim put the needs of others before themselves. Even sometimes before their own families. The needs of others, they place first. And he says, that's the Pshat in the Megillah. Mordechai Tzadik was the great Tzadik. So he says in the middle of his essay, he says, how does the Megillah conclude? Mordechai, all right, HaYehudi, it says, he was a Doirish Toiv Liyamoi, V'Doivir Shulam L'chol Zaroi. What's first? Zaroi or Amoi? Amoi is mentioned first. It says, Kizehu Malas Mordechai Yehudi. The mile of Mordechai Tzadik was Shemekoydim Hoyim Manigu Mashpia Hasholem LaAmoy Bnei Yisrael. First, he would worry about the world at large. He would worry about Klal Yisrael. But Achakach Gamken L'Chol Zaroi. The Chol Zaroi came afterwards. First, it was a Dairish Toiv LaAmoy. He would be makriv his own personal needs for others, and then came his own needs. Then came Zaroi. Zaroi came later. So he says, Ukederach Hazeh Shomanu Mepe Kodosh. Harava Bosig Oiv Yisrael Rav David Lelever. Rav David Lelever said the following. Listen to what Rav David Lelever says. He says, "Ben Pe Kodesh." You know what he says? Tfer Shloimeh says, "I heard from the Pe Kodesh." He says, "Rav David Lelever, that he said, Shuma Bezel Oshin, Eich Toim Rulai Shani Tzadik." People were saying, right? World-renowned Tzadik, Rav David Lelever. Rav David Lelever says, "How can you call me a Tzadik?" He says, "How can you call me a Tzadik? A Tzadik Hador, especially." If I still am more sensitive, Ahavas, he says, Bonai Vizari Yoisim Mishar B'nei Yisrael. Rav David Lelever says, Kol Zman, that I have more feelings for my children more than for another yid. Don't, you can't call me a tzaddik. You call me a tzaddik ador? I'm not a tzaddik ador. If I still, human nature, I did not conquer that, he said yet. If I can still feel a greater hiskar kreveshaft, if I feel closer to my own children than to a friend, the yid, I cannot be called a tzaddik ador. The avoid of a tzaddik is that every yid is part of his mishpoche. Every yid is like a brother to him. Every yid is connected to each and every yid. And therefore, says the Tfer Shloime, Vizesh Omar. And therefore, they told Homan, you know what Mordechai is? You know the Madrega of Mordechai? Listen to this new pshat here. Vizesh Omar Loilo Homan. Imizera HaYehudim Mordechai. You know what that means? Pirish. Shekola HaYehudim Hem Kizari Mamish. The Madrega of Mordechai was, he succeeded in this. Mordechai succeeded at Mizera HaYehudim, that all of the Yidin are in Mordechai's eyes as if they would be his children. So Letuchaloi. If the Yid have such a tzaddik, they told Haman, if the Yid have such a tzaddik in their midst, what kind of a tzaddik? Then Zera Yehudim, that all the children are like his own children, you can be sure, he says, you have no koyach against such a person, he says. And this is the nekudah. I just want to tell you, we have here number 5, which is the word of the Kotzker, and this is Kotzker Sharf, but again, the Kotzker says the same idea, but he says it to explain a very fascinating thing that you may have thought of. We know that there is a difference between a Kohen Hegit, Stam HaKohen, and a Kohen Godel. In what area? We know that a Kohen Hegit, even Stam HaKohen, is not allowed to be Metamah Temesim, not allowed to go to a cemetery. What are the exceptions? His Kroivim. His 7 Kroivim. Ovi, V'imoi, Benoi, U'bitoi, right? Father, mother, brother, sister, son, daughter, wife. Right? So, for the 7 Kroivim, closest relatives, a Kohen is allowed to go to the cemetery, to the Leviah of his own Kroivim. He's allowed to go. A Kohen Godel, on the other hand, a Kohen Godel, who is the highest, is not allowed to be Metame, even to his father or mother. Why not? Why not? Says the Kotzker Rebbe. You know why? Because a Kohen Godel means he's a Tzaddik Hador. A Kohen Godel is supposed to reach a Madrega that he does not feel closer to his own father or mother than to any other Yid. In other words, what do you mean, to his father and mother? He transcended all the feelings of human nature. The Kohen Gadol is so mikusher to each and every Yid in Klal Yisrael that he cannot feel closer because it's his father, it's his mother. He has the hiskarvis and the closeness to each and every Yid in Klal Yisrael. So how do you make a distinction? To his father and mother, yes. To him it doesn't make any difference anymore, because he has reached a madrega that he is connected to each and every person in Klal Yisrael. Time has moved on, so I just want to conclude to you. I just want to tell you, regardless of the situation that we have in the term of Devoira, the attitude, he says, that even to have Ahava Belev, he says, regarding Rishoyim, that's what the term of Devoira pointed out over here. Just a Gavurche, about the sensitivity, I want to mention to you one thing, that a person once came to Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, and it's a sefer called Yechidah Zgula. A person comes to Rabbi Zalman and he says that there's an article written in a particular Torah journal criticizing a chiddush of Rabbi Zalman. It's not uncommon to find in Torah journals, in one journal, right, one periodical, you have some chiddushim of many different rabbonim, Rosh Yeshivas. The next one, right, you have people who argue. It's quite common. But apparently, this person, he did it, was not written very respectful. And Lamaisa turns out it was a lot of narishkeit. But he wrote it. And he printed it in a Torah journal, criticizing the Torah of Rabbi Zalman. So a particular person, Lumaisa, comes in, a concerned friend of Rabbi Zalman, who is very concerned about the COVID of Rabbi Zalman. So he comes, and he says to Rabbi Zalman, he says, I would like to write a rebuttal. This friend told Rabbi Zalman, I would like to write a rebuttal in the next issue to defend the Chiddush of Rabbi Zalman, to defend you. Rabbi Zalman did not allow it. And Mr. Zalman gave the following reason. I don't want you to defend me in the next issue. And he says, because the person, I see the name of that person who's doing it. So he says, the person who attacked me, he says, he suffers from family problems. He has family problems. It'll give him, he says, a little bit of happiness to think that what? That he disapproves of what I said, he says. If I have an opportunity, he says, to relieve somebody's suffering, let it be that way. Let him have that little bit of anoa thinking that he disproved my chiddush. He needs some anoa in life. Let him have that hanor. Let him think that what he wrote was okay. It was justified. It's fine. But Mr. Zalman refused to allow the person to defend the Chiddush of Mr. Zalman, and that's the way it stood. But I want to mention, and we conclude with this, Rabbi Yisai. Rav David Soloveitchik pointed out, and he says it was in 1905. Conclude this, Maisa. In the year 1905, he says there was a young person in Brisk, who was a Pyrek oil. Let's call him a Friar Yid. A Yid Bechlal, who did not care about anything. He was a Mechal Shabbos Befresia. He was a Kaifer Beker Mamish. Hey, call him an atheist. He's a Mumer Lahachis Mamish. Atkedei Kach, this person was such a Kaifer Beker, this person was such a Pyrek oil, he was such a Friar person, a Mumer Lahachis, that every Shabbos in the morning, he would wait for Reb Chaim. When Reb Chaim would go to shul, so he would stand on the street in front of Reb Chaim, he would go and he would smoke a cigarette. He would smoke a cigarette, push it to show Reb Chaim his Machal Shabbos. I mean, how much more, how low can a person get? The person that was a Friar Yid, but this is what he would do. He would go, and clearly to show clearly that he is not, that he doesn't believe in anything. This is the way he did it. So, it's interesting thing is, that this person, Lamais, was drafted into the army, into the Russian army. So he's drafted, and this is the way Rav David Soloveitchik is telling it. He was drafted into the Russian army, and as such, it turns out that he got a hold of some, he drank a little bit too much, and he takes out his weapon. On the wall was hanging a picture of the Tsar, Tsar Nikolai, and at this particular moment, not realizing what he's doing, he takes his weapon and he shoots at the picture of the Tsar. That's a tremendous crime, and certainly there's always some chaverim there, you know, ready to maser. So they went and they mastered him, that this is what he did. Turns out that they locked him up, and there, you know, they don't need much excuses, you know, in order to kill someone, to say that somebody's chayv misa. You're shooting at the picture of the Tsar. I mean, that's a murder malchus. Shooting at the picture of the Tsar. So they sentenced him that he's going to be chayv misa. And he's supposed to die. This is the maisa. Thing that he's supposed to die, they're going to shoot him. Firing squad on Erev Sukkot. That was the maisa. So it turns out that it was a particular Yid. Rav David Soloveitchik says that it was a particular Yid. He used to be a Yotzev in Echnes, he says, by the house of the Rosh Ha'ir. In other words, in Brisk, there was a Rosh Ha'ir, which is the chief of the town. The chief of the town, the magistrate, you know, the top person of the town. And this person, being that he had a close relationship with the Rosh Ha'ir, so he comes to Reb Chaim, this person, and he says to Reb Chaim, he says that the Rosh Ha'ir told me, you know, everything was bribery. The Rosh Ha'ir, the chief of the town, said, for 5,000 rubles, I can get him off. For 5,000 rubles, I can get him off. Reb Chaim hears that. Right away, he calls the Rosh HaKehillah of Brisk. Calls together the Rosh HaKehillah of Brisk. They should come, he says, an emergency meeting. The people come together. Reb Chaim says that you are mechuyev, he says, to raise the money. There's a life of a Yid, pekuach nefesh, involved over here. And to empty, this is what Chaim said. This is what David Soloveitchik repeated. Chaim said, you're mechuyev, he says, to empty the treasury of the Kehillah. To empty the treasury of the Kehillah in order to save the life of this Yid. And if it means taking money from your pocket because there's not enough money in the treasury, any money that you can spare, you have to do it and you have to give it. This was the psak of Reb Chaim, and the Rosh HaKehillah, they just couldn't take that psak. The Rosh HaKehillah couldn't take the psak. By the way, the frum and the non-frum, both, no one, none of the members in the Kehillah were able to accept that psak, and he clearly said, this person deserves to die. He said, why? Because this person is a Rosha. You saw this person was a Pyrek oil. You saw what this person, you see this behavior of that person. It's a mitzvah, b'yarta haro mekibecha. The Torah says, get rid of evil. So adrabe. So now the governor is going to wipe him out. They're going to snuff him out. There's a mitzvah, adrabe. Mitzvah to save him. It's a mitzvah to have him go. It's a mitzvah, let him go to Gan Eden as soon as he can. B'yarta haro mekibecha. That's what he tainted. Reb Chaim tainted and he said, the mitzvah of a biyata haro mikirbecho, he says, that's when you have a Sanhedrin. And you have a Sanhedrin, basically, who took up the case. And after thinking it through, finally they come to a decision that he's chayiv misa, apidan din teire. Then we have a mitzvah, he says, a biyata haro mikirbecho. That was only bizman abayis, he said, when you had a Sanhedrin. He said, but this does not apply to any other person who transgresses in any other way, he says, and Mela doesn't make a difference. There was a particular Yid who was Taki Yerushimayim, and he was a Talmud Chochom, but Lamaisa, he knew something also, something more. So he says, this Yid is a Mumar Lahachis. And a Mumar Lahachis, he says, it's very clearly, his Mumar Lahachis, he went directly to smoke in front of you, push it to hurt you. He was a Mumar Lahachis. So the Mumar Lahachis, he says, clearly there's a Rambam, Hilchos Eidos, they said it's also to be matzal and mumar lahachas, and so on and so forth. And Rabbi Chaim goes on to tell him, he says, yes, the Rambam paskins it's also to be matzal and mumar lahachas. Talking about a rosha here. But there's also a shittim mukibetzis at the end of Bava Metzia, Bava Kama, at the end, who says that even that halacha, that a mumar lahachas is also lahatzal, you have to have a gedoyla hador sitting down, and they make a cheshm that it's better for the overall community to get rid of this mumar lahachas. But if you're dealing in a situation where you have, as he says, you have communists, right, hundreds of them, and you have Bundists, he says, one more, one less will not put the community in a better position. There is no redeeming value, he says, to get rid of this mumar lahachas. So passing Reb Chaim, as much as Reb Chaim was pushing that they should empty the treasury, the killer did not want to do it. They don't, for such a person, said, we have no feelings to do it. Interesting. Reb Chaim's tzak. Turns out, Reb Chaim did not rest, and it was Erev Yom Kippur. People came to Shul to daven Mincha, and Reb Chaim gets up by the bima, and he says, I do not allow anyone to go home to eat the Suda Mafsekis. After Mincha, eat the Suda Mafsekis, to come back to Shul for Kol Nidre. So, until he says that this money, in fact, is raised over here. Otherwise, I don't allow anyone to go. He had no brera. They had to raise the money till everything took place, till they got the money together. It was handed over to the Rosh Yair and so on and so forth. The person's life was saved. It got so close to the Shkia that the Taki, in fact, could not eat Suda Mafsekis. They didn't. That year, they did not eat the Suda Mafsekis. They just ran, the time just ran out. And they ran to Kol Nidre without actually eating that last Suda. The idea, what you see from here, is something that, talking about a Rosh Yair, Mumar Lahachis. No one had a feeling that there's something has to be done. But this is the way Gadol B'Yisrael has a different attitude, a different outlook of evaluating every situation with his eyes and with his great chokhmah. It's our bracha now as we come to Kenav Bez Hashem, at the beginning of the summer. Bez Hashem, that everything that we have learned throughout, starting from the beginning of the season, the time of the Vayera, the little bit that we did, the Bez Hashem, the halavai that it makes even a little bit of an impression on us, and we take this with us and to use that as a stepping stone, as a yesoid, to have somewhat to be able to build on. At least we should realize what our goals should be and to have something truthfully to strive for. And B'ez Hashem, we should all be zoiche taki to enjoy taki the summer, to come back taki healthy and well. And B'ez Hashem, taki we should be zoiche to continue mala mala in all of the midis and all of our areas, and to be zoiche to shefa brocha v'atzlocha.